friends, and welcome to another episode of The Co-op Show. I'm one of your hosts, Britt.
And I'm Jason.
And today we're talking about our time together in Marvel's Avengers.
Yeah.
I think I leave that in.
I think we leave it in.
You cheesy bastard, I love you. Okay, so Marvel's Avengers.
What were you expecting?
I don't know. Oh, that was great. So thank you to Crystal Dynamics and Square Enix for providing me a review copy. Jason had to pay for it with his own money, but that's okay. This is an action role-playing live service game. It is rated T for teen for language, mild blood, and violence. Developed by Crystal Dynamics, you may know them from Tomb Raider. Published by Square Enix, and it is currently available on Windows, PS4, Xbox One, and Stadia. But worth noting, it is coming to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S for a free, well, like I was going to say for a free price, but that doesn't make sense. It will be free to upgrade your game to the next generation of consoles, and you will be able to transfer your saves. There will be cross-generational multiplayer, etc. It is online only, however, and you can play it single player or up to four people in online matches. It's PvE for now, but I wouldn't be surprised if PvP comes to it. It launched on September 4th, 2020, and it is retailing for $59.99. Although if you want to get fancy, there are some deluxe bundles you can get out there if you so choose. So, Marvel's Avengers. Here is the plot overview. Jason, give me a jingle. Perfect.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay. I like it. Thank you. All right. So, Marvel's Avengers begins at A-Day, where Captain America, Iron Man, the Hulk, Black Widow, and Thor are unveiling a new high-tech Avengers headquarters in San Francisco. The celebration turns deadly when a mysterious enemy causes a catastrophic accident, which results in massive devastation. Blamed for the tragedy, the Avengers disband. 5 years later, with all superheroes outlawed and the world in peril, a sprawling adventure ignites when a determined young woman named Kamala Khan sets out to reassemble and rebuild the Avengers to stop the unchecked power of the secretive new force known as AIM. And maybe it's because we're 90s kids, or I guess we're kind of 80s technically, but whenever I see AIM, I think of AOL.
Yeah, I was wondering if that's what you were going to say.
I mean, it's like, oh, AIM, so evil.
That was my first, you know, like, chat program, and I used to chat, you know, with all the cool kids and all the girls.
All the little girls. That's what you do when you're a teenager.
Do you remember how there was like strategy to AOL Instant Messenger, and like you wanted to seem cool, so you didn't want to seem like you were always there at your computer. So you would
put your away messages on.
Well, or you could have it, because it would recognize if you moved your mouse or put an input on your keyboard. So what you could do is just make it so your screen was there, and you could come back and check to see if anybody had chatted you. Okay, am I giving away too many secrets right now?
Okay, you try too hard as a child. It's fine.
We all had to be cool.
We all had to be cool.
Even in the days of AOL Instant Messenger.
It's true. Thankfully, AOL Instant Messenger is not the main antagonist of Marvel's Avengers. So worth noting that we're going to obviously just be focusing on the co-op aspect of Marvel's Avengers, since this is, you know, called the co-op show, not the single player show. But just some high-level thoughts on single player. I've completed the campaign. I really enjoyed it. I've never been the biggest superhero fan, but I enjoyed my time with the single-player campaign so much that I'm now reading the comics every night before bed. You're always like, what are you looking at? I said, comics.
It's true. I look over last night and you're reading, I don't know, I think I saw Iron Man or Captain America or somebody on
there. They're all in there. Yeah, I think it's a really great game. I think there is some weird bumbling of the reviews because of the beta and then what people expected from the game. But overall, like, I would say the single player campaign is absolutely worth playing. As far as multiplayer goes, we'll touch on that. Jason, you've been playing single player, but you've unfortunately encountered like a literal game breaking bug.
Yeah. So I'm about 50, I think I'm like 59% of the way through the campaign, something like that. Like, it tells you what your percentage is. And I have hard quit my game like 3 or 4 times. I have reloaded my checkpoint several times. The only thing I haven't tried yet is starting the mission over from scratch. But essentially, I'm at a point in the game where one of the characters is supposed to do something to open a door so that I can progress, and he is just not doing it.
Yeah.
The voice and the dialogue triggers that he's going to do it, and then he just doesn't. He just does nothing.
I am
stuck in the campaign and I cannot progress.
Yeah,
right now.
I think the next step is definitely just restarting the whole mission over again, which isn't like a huge deal. But anyway, TLDR, single player, very good. But we are here to talk about the multiplayer. So how multiplayer works in Marvel's Avengers is when you boot up the screen, you have two options. You can do the Reassemble, which is essentially the single player campaign, or the Avengers Initiative, which is the multiplayer stuff. You do not need to do the single player campaign in order to tap into the multiplayer stuff, but it is recommended you do the campaign first, because obviously when you hop in the multiplayer stuff, it's a continuation of the single player campaign, and hashtag spoilers will be abound.
Yeah.
So I think we both would recommend doing single player stuff first.
I would recommend it, yeah.
Yeah, and then you get used to all the characters and how they control and whatnot.
Yep.
So like we mentioned earlier, you have, it's called the War Table, and it essentially has several different locations at your disposal, and you can kind of circle through them, and they appear as like maps on your screen, and on there are scattered some certain missions. You can play these with people online, up to three people, or you can play with bots. So if you don't want to play with people, or like Jason and I just want to play by ourselves, we can just play with AI.
Yeah, it'll just fill the remaining spots with bots. Now, I think it automatically fills it with bots, right? We never actually told it to.
Correct.
Yeah, it just automatically does.
I think what happens is you assemble your strike team at some point, and then if you have no one in there, it'll just fill it with bots.
Yep.
But there is an easy option if you want to invite randos into your game.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep this spoiler-free. We're not going to talk about like the specifics of the mission and why we're doing what we're doing in multiplayer, because spoilers suck. But I think the main... This is a game as a service, right? And so the idea is that you keep coming back to it to play new missions, to play new content. You're constantly building your character, leveling your character, trying to find the best gear. You and I have had some experience with these games. We played a lot of Destiny in our day.
Yep.
We haven't played in a hot minute, but we did play it for quite some time. So that's like our expertise when it comes to these kind of games.
Yeah, and I feel like when I think about games to compare this to, Destiny is the one that comes to mind as the most similar game. And
sorry, our dog decided to give himself the biggest, sloppiest bath right now. And it smells and it's loud and it's obnoxious as fuck. But go ahead.
All right. So is it fair to compare this game to Destiny?
No.
You don't think it is? Because I think in some ways it is.
I mean, in some ways, in the sense that it's a game as a service, live service game, whatever the heck the cool kids want to call it. But Marvel's Avengers is a third-person action game with multiple heroes. Destiny, you're focused on your one guardian. You might have multiple guardians, and it's a first-person game, and it's created by Bungie, who is like, you know, the cream of the crop when it comes to first-person shooters. And I don't think Crystal Dynamics has had much experience with this. Obviously, mm-hmm. when it comes to their third-person games, you think of Tomb Raider. They're good at building really great stories, and because you look at the other Tomb Raider games, yes. So they definitely have a lot of experience under the belt, so it's complicated. To expect this game to live up to Destiny, though, I think is just like... Not, you can't do that, at least not for several years.
Okay.
But, so, anyway, I don't even remember where we're going. We're really distracted by our dog slurping and giving him a bath. But, so the point is, you have this map, and you have all of these... Sorry, I should let you explain. Do you want to compare this to Destiny?
So, I do get Destiny vibes when I play the game. I mean, it's different. It is very different to where, like, you're not going to... If you're a Destiny, you know, seasoned vet, you're not going to play this game and feel like... this is boring or something. This is a brand new experience, and it focuses far more on melee combat compared to Destiny, which is, you know, almost all ranged combat, at least the last time we played it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that, you know, the war table is a lot like being in the ship, and then you choose the planet, and then once you choose the planet, then you choose the actual, you know, mission that you want to do in Destiny. So it's got similarities in that sense. But you know, when you're in a mission, you're not seeing other randos running around like you are in Destiny. So that's like a big difference.
And I'm sure those modes will come eventually. And it also would be nice to have a shared world in the sense that where we can run around and see each other in the game, but you don't have that right now. Everyone's on their own chimera, and then you just kind of like bunch up in space and then you like go off. Well, you don't really bunch up in space. You just kind of like get together somehow. I don't know how it works. Science is weird. Anyway, so you have a bunch of missions you can choose from when you're deciding what kind of multiplayer mission you want to do. And again, like in some regards, these do expand upon the single player campaign, but we're not going to go into the story stuff for reasons I already discussed. So I have this article from Games Radar, and they kind of listed some of these out in bullet points. So I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 7 or 8 different types of multiplayer missions that you can do. The issue that I have with the multiplayer content, and I think this is what's also being echoed throughout the industry and people who are playing this game, is the missions all feel very similar.
Yeah, Yeah, and that's what we encountered too.
So whether you're doing a drop zone mission or a shield faction mission or a priority threat sector, which I guess those are a little different. Well, they're really not actually. No matter what you're doing, the gameplay is all sort of the same.
Yeah.
It's like the win mechanics of it, right? The objectives.
It's like you go here, defeat a group of enemies. Maybe you're rescuing a VIP or like a hostage. And then you go to the next spot and maybe you are destroying some batteries or something from a generator or some sort of facility. Or in some cases, maybe you're beating up a boss. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you're doing, it's all pretty much that same kind of formula. Or maybe you're playing like a King of the Hill or a capture the hills sort of scenario. But either way, there's only a few different modes of win condition, and they all do feel very same across, no matter what type of multiplayer mission you're playing. It's, mm-hmm. It feels like they're using the same formula.
So, for example, if you're in a shield faction mission or drops, well, drop zones are more about just defeating enemies. Those kind of go pretty quick. It's mostly like most of the levels will always drop you in a sandboxy area, and you can either go straight toward the objective, which is marked on your map, or you can head to the little question marks you'll find throughout your map, and those will contain chests of gear or crafting materials or whatever. And we kind of just, these days, just choose to not go for those. Yeah. We just kind of wanted to test out all the mission types. So let's say you're in a shield faction mission. Your objectives could go as follows. Locate the facility, defeat all targets, destroy the fuel tanks, defeat 5 mercenaries. It's done and over with. Or there could be a priority threat sector. Defeat 5 guys, stand on a control point, go down an elevator, hack 3 surfers, aka capture the flag, kind of like what you called. Mm-hmm. Go back to the elevator, sabotage arc reactors, aka destroy things.
Yep.
So it's more or less like all the same. And I think that's something that will be fixed going forward, you know, with new content, new DLC, because there definitely needs to be more game modes and different ways to play this game. The two missions I want to give a shout out to are the iconic missions and the villain sectors. Out of all of these, I would say these two types of missions have been the most fun.
Yep, agreed.
And while they still use the same mechanics, capture the flag, defeat 5 enemies, you know, go down this elevator, blah, 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 they have been, I feel, built with the intent of expanding upon the story. So the priority iconic missions, or maybe they're just called iconic missions. So we've done some for Thor, we've done some for Hulk, and those have a little extra TLC because there are dialogue, there's dialogue, there's cutscenes that are involved, and it feels much more scripted, but in a narrative way.
Yeah, I liked those too. They were more engaging, and they were also longer.
Yeah.
Because one thing about most of these multiplayer missions is if you mainline it, and I mean if you ignore all of the sort of optional side quests like rescue the VIP or like kill the target or, mm-hmm. you know, defend this thing. You can, like, I think that we probably completed some of those missions in 5 minutes, maybe 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And others maybe max like 15 to 20. But generally, like, yeah, 5 to 10 minutes is really all it takes if you mainline it. And so the loading screens themselves are like 1 to 2 minutes of that. I felt like so there's a lot of loading screens and not a lot of content. Like the ratio is off.
Are you talking about when you're going down an elevator or when you're like on a train going to the next objective within that mission?
Well, yeah, but I'm also adding in like the pre-mission start load.
Oh, yeah.
The post-mission end load.
Because I agree with you. I think when you're first starting a mission, the loading screens are probably like at least a minute.
Yeah.
When you're in the game, it's probably closer to like 30 to 40 seconds. One time we had it slow down to like, it took like 2 minutes, I think. But again, bad, like, yeah. I'm trying not to critique this too bad because I know this is a game of service and it just came out and everyone has to work out the kinks. And I think that's just the day that we're in, is when you launch a game like this, there's going to be issues. But that's a good point.
Yeah, I'm not really trying to critique the length of the load time so much as I'm trying to point out that the missions are very bite-sized in multiplayer. Mm-hmm. And I'm comparing that to other sorts of multiplayer missions that we've experienced with game as a service, namely like Destiny, where I feel like it could take you, you know, 20 to 60 minutes and sometimes hours to do a single mission. And so that's a pretty big difference from like 5 to 15 minutes, which is what we were experiencing here with Avengers.
No, that's fair.
Yep.
And the villain sectors is another mission, I want to give a shout out to mission type. These are essentially, you go through, you do your usual defeat big enemies, you know, defeat this, do this, king of the hill, hack this, and AKA when you hack, it's mostly just you standing on a platform while Jarvis hacks something. But they typically end with big bad boss fights, and some of them are pretty fun and pretty intense. I hope we get more missions like that going forward.
I hope so too. Yeah, there were two boss fights that stood out in particular. I won't name them just so that, you know, we keep it spoiler free. But yeah, there are some pretty good boss fights, and I agree. I want more.
Mm-hmm. So, like, overall, we have fun playing this. We've played, I don't know, I'd say, like, 30 of these multiplayer missions at least.
Yeah, plus the campaign.
And plus the campaign, yeah. And so we're having fun. We're having a good time. It just needs varying content at this point. I think there's so much potential for this, and especially when you look at some of the upcoming characters in DLC. So, for example, we know Hawkeye will be the first DLC character, which is pretty cool. I know he's the ranged guy. I'm still working on my Marvel's roster lineup.
So yeah, who's your favorite so far?
My, like, in the Avengers?
No, I mean, like, in the game. Like, who's your favorite character to play?
To play or just, like, in general?
Who's your main?
My main. Here's the thing is, I know you love Iron Man. Yeah. And I know you have Iron Man, like, beefed up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I know Symer has Black Widow as her main. But
oh, interesting.
I really like playing as Black Widow. I feel like I'm just kind of good with her.
Mm-hmm.
I love Iron Man as a character, but I don't like playing as him because it requires too much accuracy.
Yeah, he's a ranged type, yeah.
And Hulk is fun because he gets to smash everything. Right now, I would say my favorite, and Kamala, Miss Marvel, is actually really great, too. Maybe Black Widow might be my favorite to play as because I like her little ability she has.
Oh, the invisibility?
I need to spend more time with Captain America, though.
Yeah, I haven't spent much time with him either, but my initial feel was that it just didn't fit my style. Like, so typically, whenever we play co-op games, you tend to be more of a face tanky mage, big beefy armor, shield, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah, and I tend to be more of an artillery, like a high DPS but glass cannon type player.
Drives
so
crazy.
Oh, yeah, but I love it. So ranged players, mages, things like that, I love to play those kinds of characters. Snipers, if it's a gun game. So for me, that's Iron Man really fits that bill for me. So it's really fun. And I'm glad they have different characters with different abilities, types, specialties. It really makes it so you can find somebody who appeals to a play style that you like.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point too, because there are so many, when I say so many, I'm assuming that this leaked list of DLC characters is accurate.
Yep.
So like I said, Hawkeye will be the first DLC. I don't think we know when he's coming yet. But earlier this month in September, when we're recording this episode, there was a leaked Marvel's list of tons of characters, and I'll just read these real quick. So Ant-Man, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, Falcon, Hulkbuster, Kate Bishop, Mar-Vell, Mockingbird, Quake, Scarlet Witch, She-Hulk, Vision, War Machine, Wasp, and Winter Soldier. So this was found by a data miner, is what the cool kids call it. And who knows, like, I could see this happening, and the way the characters are going to be released going forward is that characters will all be free, but you can pay $10 for a battle pass so you can, like, you know, get good with them and unlock all the special perks and whatnot.
Help you, like, level them up faster?
Don't have a ton of experience in battle pass games because that's just not my jam, but my understanding is if you unlock the battle pass, think of it as like a passport, where if you accomplish certain things with that character, you unlock certain maybe skins or emotes or nameplates and stuff because all microtransactions in this game will be cosmetic only.
Good.
So it's essentially so that's my understanding of it. But obviously, if I'm wrong, I'm so sorry. So sorry. But no, I think there's a lot of, like I said, potential, especially with all these characters and new gameplay modes going forward, blah, blah, blah. So going back a little bit, because we were talking about all the mission types, the whole point of doing these missions is to level up and get better gear. And thankfully, I mean, there's a lot of gear you get in this game.
Yep.
Thankfully, the game has a built-in optimize button, which I fucking love.
It's the I don't give a fuck button.
And normally I do, but for games like this, I'm just like, yeah, just give me the best shit. But you actually take the time to optimize your gear. So there's what, like five different gear options?
So there's four actual armor pieces, okay. And then you've got three trinket slots. So one major trinket and then two like minor trinket slots. And yeah, at first I was just, I think you just hold L2 down and the game will just automatically equip whatever the game thinks is the best equipment. The The problem with that, I found, is that all the game cares about is what has the highest power level. Mm. Well, that might not fit with what kind of character you're trying to build. So, for example, I like to play Iron Man, and you can play Iron Man either as a melee or as a ranged character. Well, I like ranged, so I wanted to equip all of the... So let me back up. So when I was doing the just, you know, let the AI equip for me, I was noticing, yeah, my power level is high, but my ranged modifier, like my ranged rating, sucks. Mm. So we forgot to mention that the game, it grades you. It gives you a melee rating or like a ranged rating, and then I think defense and heroic. And heroic is like your specials. And I was noticing that, well, I'm playing this guy totally as a ranged, but if I equip this other piece of armor that is a lower power level, my ranged rating actually goes up by like 20%. Mm. And now I'm doing way more damage.
And that's the kind of character you want to play as.
And so before, maybe I had like a much better or more balanced melee attack power, but I was never using melee. I was always using ranged. So it actually benefits me in my playstyle if I equip the lower power level armor that has a much better ranged modifier.
I understand. So it sounds like it would be helpful if the optimize button was more like optimize for range, optimize for melee, optimize for whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. If it just let you choose optimize for what? Melee or ranged or defense or heroic.
Because when you equip the gear at the top, you can see what your actual stats are. Okay, so you have these like ranged melee stats, and then you have your four pieces of gear.
Yep. And as you equip different pieces of gear, it'll, or if you just hover over like a new piece of gear, it'll show you if you equip this, you know, your ranged modifier, your ranged rating might go up by 10%. Your melee might go down by 5%.
Okay, that
maybe
makes
your
sense.
Defense goes down by 1%.
I mean, and I knew that. I've been playing, but you know, I told them before we started recording, I'm like, listen, I have not been paying that much attention to the gear. All I know is if it's purple or gold and shiny and it buffs up my melee, I'm good. So, okay. So the gear works pretty as self-explanatory. You equip the gear, but then there's perks along with the gear.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I guess, any game as a service and any like RPG in that sense.
Yeah, and you can dismantle gear just like in other games as a service.
Yeah.
That gives you resources, and then you can use those resources to buy shit from vendors, or you can use it to upgrade other pieces of gear. Upgrading pieces of gear brings its power level up so that you can sort of level up that gear, and it also unlocks perks with that particular piece of armor or gear. So, for instance, if I level it up by spending some resources, I might unlock a perk that beefs up my missile damage, something like that. Or maybe it gives me a 10% chance to trigger an invulnerability buff for 3 seconds every time I'm hit. You know, just something like that.
Okay.
So little perks like that.
I have not been paying attention to those at all.
Oh, I started getting really interested
in it, actually.
I know.
Between missions, I'm always raring to go to the next one. And you're like, I need like 3 minutes to optimize my gear.
but it's pretty cool. It actually is pretty cool.
So besides the gear, then there's the skill tree and the skill points. And this is another thing, as in all games, I feel like I pretty much know what kind of character I want to build. All games Jason and I play together, he always spends so much time in his points, and it kind of drives me crazy. But it's okay. I appreciate it, because you always end up carrying me, because I'm a reckless melee.
Someone's got to be able to revive you when you go down.
I know. So what's your thought on the skill trees?
I really like it. So I've really spent the most time in Iron Man's skill tree. And I've unlocked, I think, almost every skill from his skill tree.
So there's three different skill trees, aren't there?
Yeah, there's three skill trees per character, and each skill tree has skill trees within those skill trees. So there's, like, a lot. I really like how diverse the skills are and the abilities. And what they do is they really allow you to customize your character's gameplay to your fighting style. And I really like that. Mm-hmm. So, for instance... I can make it so that my intrinsic energy, which is what I need to fire off lots of rockets, regenerates faster, you know, and that's really important to me because I'm firing off a lot of rockets. Or I can make it so that every time I perform a takedown, maybe the enemy who I took down drops a heroic orb, something like that, which enables me to fill my heroic meters faster. Things of that nature. There's lots of different examples, but I really do like the depth of the skill tree system. It is really well thought out and it's fun.
Yeah, I mostly just like, what gives me the most HP? What makes my attacks do more damage? I'm a very, very simple woman in that sense. Well, yeah, I think, I don't think we can wrap up this episode and give our final thoughts before we talk about the PlayStation advantages to this game. So I want to put this out there because obviously this game is on multiple platforms, but if you're looking to kind of get the most bang for your buck, have to recommend you go for PlayStation for the following reasons. Obviously, we know Marvel's Avengers and Sony have some sort of deal going on because whoever pre-ordered on PlayStation 4, you got the beta first. So that was like, oh, okay, we understand. And it makes sense. So if you are on PlayStation, you will get exclusive community challenge and you will get 30 days early access to legendary skins. So if you don't play on PlayStation and you don't really care about the 30-day exclusive skins, you're like, whatever, like, I'd live without that. And if you don't really care about the community challenges, you're probably thinking, cool, that doesn't really bother me that much. But where it's going to really hurt you, and I'm trying to think of a spider pun here.
Bite you?
Bite, I would say, yeah, bite you in the ass.
I mean.
Web you?
Where it's going to
get you by its
fangs? Where it gets a little sticky?
Ooh, where it gets a little sticky.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I like that. Is that Spider-Man will be coming to PlayStation platforms only in 2021. Alongside that, Spider-Man will have his own events and challenges. So this could be a timed thing. No one's going to say for a while, because I'm sure if it is a timed thing, contractually no one's allowed to say it's a timed thing.
Yep.
But if you're looking to play Spider-Man, you can only get him on PlayStation. So if you want those exclusive challenges, legendary skin early access, there's going to be some unique bundles with unique skins and currency, and Spider-Man, which I think is a really big deal. One of the most iconic superheroes of, like, all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you're going to have to play on PlayStation. So just think about that if you haven't bought it already.
Yeah, I mean,
put that in your
bag. Having a good experience on PlayStation.
Because I think it's worth mentioning that you and I always prefer to play on Xbox. I like the controller more.
Same.
It's just more comfortable for me. It just seems more convenient. For some reason or another, I'm just kind of drawn to it more. But when I heard about, you know, this stuff, it was kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, I agree. Same reasons. Better controller. It's just a little more, it just feels a little more convenient to go on my Xbox. I don't know why. I think it's just because I play it more often because of other games. So I keep the controller, like, well, that's actually another thing, is the controller with the Xbox controller, you can put batteries in it.
Rather, we're kind of the worst. We really need to get good at that. Yeah. That's why I'm excited that going forward in the Series X, it'll support USB-C. But, Demers.
Yes.
Call you that, because that's your last name.
That is.
What are your overall thoughts of this game?
I'm hesitating, but my overall thoughts are very positive. I really like the game. I think the reason why I'm hesitating is because there are certain things I like and certain things that I really think they could have done a better job at. So let me start with what I really like. The combat is super well done, in my opinion. I think it's high action. There's a great mix of melee combat and ranged combat, and for me that's like the most important thing in a game, because I care less about story and narrative and so on, and really for me it's if the combat is great, I'll get hooked. Mm-hmm. And I definitely am hooked on the combat. Like I think about playing Iron Man and flying around and firing off missiles at people, and it's great. Totally fits my play style. So that's what's really done well. The animations, I think the graphics are super really well done. I think the music is phenomenal in the game. And I think the acting is all really well done as well. In terms of what, do you want to talk about what we could do better yet, or do you want to talk about what you like first?
Oh, I mean, I'm on the board. I'm on board with you. I think, especially in the single player campaign, I think this game really shines. It has some really great set pieces that are incredibly, I would say, hooking. That mm-hmm. are really good at hooking you. And as me, someone who doesn't really know a lot about these characters and the world that they're in, I found myself not wanting to stop playing. Yeah. The only time I wanted to stop playing was when these little missions, because some of these missions in multiplayer are also in single player campaign, these mm-hmm. kind of like repetitive missions. It was kind of like, oh, boner kill, a little boner killy, but then it would like hook me again with another set piece. So I'm with you. I think the combat in this game is really great. I think the acting is awesome. I think the characters look great too. But yeah, I think where this game needs to improve on, and where I'm thinking, I mean, it will, it's in its infancy as a game as a service, is in the multiplayer content.
Yeah.
But we have had a lot of fun with it, and I'm excited that, you know, I feel like what's going to happen is you and I are going to keep our characters we have. We'll probably like fizzle out, but then when the next big event comes in, or maybe when Hawkeye comes out, we'll jump back in and we already have like that stable foundation.
I agree. I think the game is built on a really great foundation right now. It's got the hooking combat. It's got the animations, and it's just fun. They just need more and better diverse content. I think that's really it.
I agree. Come. Yep. I agree. So that'll do it now for this episode of the Co-op Show. I'm sure when we get a buttload of more Marvel's Avengers content, we'll come back and do a little update, because that's always a good time.
Heck yeah.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at contact@coopshow.com, aka Coop Show. You can go to coopshow.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Blonde Nerd. Don't even bother looking up Jason. I'm not saying that to be rude.
It's just a boring Twitter feed.
It's really boring. Yeah, your photos from like, what, 7 years ago or something?
Crazy. Yeah, well, yeah, your Twitter feed is way more interesting than mine.
It's okay. And if you like our show, please feel free to leave us a review. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah, we sure do.
Yeah. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Thanks, guys. Later.
Bye.